This evening's Bible reading is found in two parts of the Bible. First of all, at the very beginning of Scripture in Genesis chapter 1. I won't insult you by giving you a page number for Genesis 1. But Genesis 1, and we're going to read from verse 26 down to verse 31. But then if you could stick your finger also in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, that you'll find on page 1184. Because we're going to read some verses from that chapter as well. So we're going to start at the beginning, Genesis 1 from verse 26 and then Colossians 3. We're midway through the sixth day of creation. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now turn to Colossians chapter 3. Written to Christians, believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul writes, verse 1, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual impurity, sexual morality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." This is the word of God. Will you open your Bible again with me, please, at Genesis chapter 1. And you'll also find it helpful to have your finger stuck in Colossians chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, we often thank you for the Bible, and we do so again today. We ask that the truth we're going to discover in it tonight would truly shape our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you were asked to pick out the most glorious part of God's creation, I wonder what it would be. What part of creation, in your opinion, shows more of God's wonderful qualities than anything else? Some might say the stars in the sky. Others might suggest the rugged shorelines and the vast oceans. Others may say, well, no, it's the forests where you can have massive trees and also wonderfully delicate flowers. The Bible's answer is very clear. What shows more of God than any other part of his creation? Well, it's you. And it's me. According to the Bible, human beings are the greatest part of God's creation. The part that shows more of God. That's what God means by his glory. More of God's glory than anything else. And why is that? Well, it's because we are created in the very image of God himself. Now, that's the truth declared in the third paragraph of our church basis of faith. We've summarized already what we know about God in it. We've looked at what we know about the Bible. And tonight we come to this, where we read all men and women being created in the image of God have inherent and equal dignity and worth. Their greatest purpose is to obey, worship, and love God. As a result of the fall of our first parents, every aspect of human nature has been corrupted. And all men and women are without spiritual life, guilty sinners, and hostile to God. Every person is therefore under the just condemnation of God and needs to be born again, forgiven, and reconciled to God in order to know and please him. Big question I want you to think about tonight. How do you see yourself? And how do you see others? The older folk may not know about this, but there's a thing called Facebook. Come on, hands up if you've got a Facebook account. Yeah, there's a definite generation divide there, isn't there? If you have a Facebook account, you will understand that on Facebook you have a profile page. And it's the bit on Facebook where you can describe yourself, your characteristics, what you like and what you dislike. You learn quite a lot about people by looking at it. The problem, though, with this profile page on Facebook is there's no checks. There's no guarantee that what is describing the person is accurate. So I could put on mine that I'm tall, blonde, and handsome. But that wouldn't be true, would it? But our statement of faith here summarizes God's accurate, reliable profile of you and of me and of every human being. And it's a profile that should shape our lives. It should shape the way we look at ourselves when we look in the mirror every morning. It should shape the way we look at other people as we encounter them day by day. Now I want to summarize what we learn in our statement of faith tonight by describing every human being as one of God's masterpieces. I'm no art boff, but sometimes we go and visit the art galleries up in London. And you go into a room and it's all of one artist, say it's all of Monet, and there's all his masterpieces round the room. Well, here's a way to think of the world. Our world, this room, Enfield, the place you work in, it is like a gallery full of God's masterpieces. We're going to learn three things about what it means to be a masterpiece tonight. First of all, we learn that we are masterpieces in the image of God. The creation of the first man and woman came, we read, at the very end of creation week. So on the first part of the sixth day, God made the animals of the earth. And then on the second part of that sixth day, as the final act of creation, God made man. Now, we've probably all been to fireworks displays, and you know what happens, don't you? They save the best rockets. They save the most spectacular fireworks for the end of the program. And that's what it was like on the sixth day of creation. God saved the best, the very best of his creative work for the end, as he made man to put more of himself on display than any other part. And he made man his own image. Let's look at what we're told. Chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Look at verse 27. It says it again. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Human beings are the only part of creation mentioned in the Bible as being made in the image of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, no illustration is perfect, but I want you to think of a 1p coin. What's on a 1p coin? I know you can't see this. Oh, hang on. I've got one on the screen. There you go. What's on a 1p coin? It's an image, isn't it? It's an image of Her Majesty the Queen. Now, I've never met Her Majesty the Queen in the flesh, but I can recognize her image. I have probably been able to recognize her image since I was very, very small, because it's everywhere, isn't it? It's on our coins, it's on our stamps. It's an image we're all familiar with. And it shows something of her. Now, the image is not her, but it's like her, and it puts her on display to her subject. And that really is a bit like what we're being told here. God made man in his own image in order that his likeness would be put on display in his world. Now, we do need to pause there for a moment. You see, there's a real danger this evening that as we think about what it means to be a member of the human race, that we become very focused on ourselves, that we start looking at me. Actually, what we're learning is telling us that the opposite should happen. Do you remember 3 weeks ago when we started our series? We discovered that God says that his truth should lead to godliness. In other words, the truth God wants us to know should lead us to live really God-focused lives. And that is just what this truth is doing tonight. As we think about the human race, actually what we're learning is we've been made in God's image so that as we look at each other, we should actually be looking at God. Because we're made to put God on display. That's our great task as human beings. And we're to do that particularly as we rule over God's creation that he's entrusted to us. So look at our verses again. Look at verse 26 again. Then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Go down to verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. When is God's image seen most clearly in men and women? When we actually rule over his creation for him, under his rule, and in a way which puts him on display. Now, will you ponder that for a moment? What does this mean for us? It actually means that in order to truly know and understand ourselves, we need to know and understand more of God. That in itself exposes the total folly of atheism, saying there's no God. Because if there's no creator, and if we're just a random collection of elements that have remarkably, actually amazingly and miraculously evolved into the complex things that we are, well, there can be no real definition of who we are as human beings. Because there was no plan. But if we are made in the image and likeness of God, we have massive significance. And we know where to look if we're to truly know ourselves. We are to look to God, our creator, and say, we were made to be like our creator. He's the model that we're to follow. And that's made even plainer for us, isn't it? By the coming of our Lord Jesus into the world. According to Colossians 1 verse 15, Jesus is the, here's the word, image of the invisible God. In his humanity, our Lord Jesus came to put the invisible God on perfect display in human form. So if we want to know what it means to be made in the image of God, where do we look? We look at Jesus. Because there we see it perfectly. Now much more could be said about what it means to be a masterpiece in the image of God. But let me ask you two questions. How do you look at yourself? And how do you look at others? Every time we look in the mirror, now don't be vain, but do look in the mirror. Every time you look at your hands or look at your feet, we need to recognize that we are looking at God's masterpieces. It's what one writer calls giving us humble dignity. Now, we're only an image. An image is not the thing itself. So we're not God. We must not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. We are dependent creatures of a creator. So we must see ourselves with great humility. But listen, we have got real dignity. Because we are made in the image of God. And that's what gives us value. That's what gives us status. As our doctrinal statement puts it. Oh, that's sorry, I didn't mean to do it there. Never mind, I'll go back to it there. There we go. All men and women being created in the image of God have inherent, that means kind of inbuilt, an equal dignity and worth. Now, it's been said that this truth should lift the head of the poorest beggar and bend the knee of the most exalted king. It's why the Bible says it's okay to kill animals, but you must never kill another human being. How we treat each other actually reveals what we think of God. Did you see what was happening in Egypt this week? Did you see what the protesters were doing? There were big posters of President Mubarak, images of him, and what were they doing? They set fire to them. So by destroying his image, they were saying, we don't want Mubarak anymore. And the way we treat one another, made in God's image, actually reveals what we think of God, in whose image we be made. The humble dignity of being made in the image of God is true for everyone. Every coin in my pocket has the Queen's image on it. Every human being I ever meet is made in the image of God. In a society that so often assesses people on the basis of their intelligence or their physical attractiveness or how able-bodied they are or how young or old they are or the color of their skin, this puts everyone on an unequal footing. Racism, ageism, sexism, exploitation, abortion, euthanasia, they are all out of place because of this truth. There's nothing only about being human. Actually, there's a wow factor, isn't there, about being human? It does mean that our greatest purpose is to obey, worship, and love God. But we have to move on. We're masterpieces in the image of God. But we also learn that we're masterpieces corrupted by sin. Are you like me? I tend to collect copper coins. Anybody else do that? You get them in change and you don't know what to do with them. They're making a hole in your pocket or your handbag. And so they end up in a pot and eventually I put them in bags like this. Now, I had a hunt through my pot this week. And I found two very contrasting 1p coins. Now, in their shape, they're the same. And as I look at them, they both have on them the image of Her Majesty the Queen. But one of them, you won't be able to see it, it is very tarnished and grubby. So much so that as I look at it, the image of the Queen has been marred. It's actually very hard to make it out. It's still there, but it's pretty hard to see. I can just see from the inscription that it was made in 1993. The other one I found in my pot is new. It was minted in 2010. The image of the Queen is really clear. This is a shiny, spanking new coin. It's lovely. Now, once upon a time, man was like a bright, shiny coin. The image of God in Adam and Eve, our first parents, it was clear, it was bright. But then it took a battering at the fall when Adam and Eve tried to take God's place. You see, that's the heart of sin. In Genesis 3, Satan said, God knows, he said to Eve, God knows that when you eat of the fruit of the tree, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. In other words, Satan was saying, if you eat of that tree, you're going to become like God. In fact, you're going to take God's place. You're going to become top dog. You're going to push God off his rightful throne. You'll be in charge then. And the result the Bible explains is that Adam and Eve became, and we have all become, like this old, corrupted coin. We do still bear the image of God. We still belong to him by right, but his image in us is corrupted and spoiled as we rebel against his rule over our lives. See, look again at our statement of faith. As a result of the fall of our first parents, every aspect of human nature has been corrupted, and all men and women are without spiritual life, guilty sinners, and hostile to God. Just note that. Every aspect of human nature has been corrupted. The theological term is total depravity. That means that our nature is not just empty of goodness, but it's full of every kind of wrong, and it's always active in us. It's a bit like what I call in some context the sugar in tea principle. So in other words, if you put sugar in tea, it makes the whole of the tea sweet. Or last night we watched an episode of Downton Abbey. Some of you have watched it, I can tell, you see. And there's the episode where the little kitchen maid puts some soap in the soup. And everyone knows there's soap in the soup because the soap affects the whole of the soup. And sin is like that. It's affected every part of us. Now, it doesn't mean that we're as bad or corrupt or depraved as we could possibly be. But sin twists and taints and pollutes and infects every part of our lives. I'm going to read you some verses from the book of Romans. I'm going to change them a bit. Not in a bad way. Don't worry, I'm not changing the Bible. I'm going to put my name in where it says certain words. This is what Romans 3 says about us as sinners, masterpieces corrupted by sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even Johnny Prime. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. Johnny Prime has turned away. Johnny Prime has become worthless. There is no one who does good. Not even Johnny Prime. Johnny Prime's throat is an open grave. Johnny Prime's tongue practices deceit. The poison of vipers is on Johnny Prime's lips. Johnny Prime's mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Johnny Prime's feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark Johnny Prime's way. And the way of peace Johnny Prime does not know. There is no fear of God before Johnny Prime's eyes. Are we really that bad? Yes, we are. And if you want to test it, here's the test. Put yourself up against Jesus. Jesus. You see, it's always easy, isn't it, to compare ourselves with others. Oh, I find it really easy to find someone else that I think is more evil, more sinful, more wicked than I am. You see, in my bag here, most of the pennies are pretty tarnished. But if I was to put this shiny new one in the bag, it would stand out, wouldn't it? And we'd see how tarnished the rest of them are. And when we compare ourselves with Jesus, who is the perfect image of the invisible God, well, then we see how grubby and dirty and corrupt we are. His life was untarnished. It was perfect. He was perfect in holiness, perfect in love, perfect in forgiveness, perfect in truthfulness, perfect in faithfulness, perfect in patience. And as I put my life up against him, that's when I see how corrupt I really am. Our statement of faith is right. Every person is therefore under the just condemnation of God. There comes a time, you see, with coins when the Royal Mint calls them all in. I don't know what they do with them. I guess they melt them down and then, well, they're destroyed as they are. And the Bible says that there will come a day when, because we have spoiled ourselves, because the image of God in us is corrupt, there will be a judgment. And we all deserve to be judged. So how do you look at yourself? How do you look at others? As well as looking in the mirror every morning and saying, yeah, I am one of God's masterpieces made in his image, I also need to look in the mirror and say, I'm a sinner. I'm a masterpiece corrupted by sin. The Bible actually teaches that to grow as a Christian actually means growing in an understanding of our sinfulness. The closer to Jesus we get, the greater we're aware of how corrupt our hearts are. And it will affect how we look at others as well. I'm not to look at others in a critical or censorial way, but I'm to look at them realistically. Because every single person we will ever meet is under sin's power. Even the most respectable, even the most good. Because every person we will meet is a masterpiece corrupted by sin. And that means we should never be surprised when we encounter the kind of things that we read about in Romans 3. When we encounter deceit and verbal poison and cursing and bitterness and violence and misery and a lack of peace in relations. It's a fruit of the evidence of sin. And if we were to stop there, wouldn't this be a depressing sermon? But there's a third thing. We are masterpieces renewed only in Christ Jesus. Look again at the last sentence of our statement. Every person is therefore under the just condemnation of God and needs to be born again, forgiven and reconciled to God in order to know and please him. I want to show you another coin here. Now, like the old battered one, it was minted in the 1990s. And up until Friday, it was as grotty as this one. But then I put a little bit of vinegar and a little bit of salt in a bowl, and I put the coin in it, and within moments. It was clean. And the image that had all been defaced, I could see it again. And it was clear. Will you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3? Because in the end of the reading that we had in Colossians 3, and we don't have time to look at the detail, but this part of the Bible written to men and women who'd come to believe in Jesus, look at Colossians 3 verses 9 and 10. It's describing Christian people, and it says, you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, and here's the word, in the image of its creator. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And the message of the Bible is that this can happen only through faith in our Lord Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross. As we thought a moment ago, Jesus came as the image of God, untarnished, perfect, just like this shiny new coin. But on the cross, an amazing thing happened. Isaiah 52:14 says that his form, his image, was marred beyond human likeness. His image was marred as he took upon himself my sin and the punishment that I deserve for my sin. And then he rose again so that all who will turn to him from sin and trust him will be made clean. Also that the image of God will be renewed in us. I looked up the internet this week. I typed in, how can you clean a 1p coin? Do you know there are all kinds of suggestions? So I tried various things. Tomato sauce, it does quite a good job, but it leaves it with a kind of orangey tinge. Coca-Cola, well, it used to be good, and it does a fairly good job, but they've taken out the bit of Coca-Cola that rots your teeth, so it doesn't clean coins as well anymore. And yet, vinegar was the best. But there is only one way for God's image to be restored. And that's through the cleansing of the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. The old hymn puts it so simply, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me clean within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But as we trust in Jesus, not only are we made clean, we're given a complete new start. The Bible calls it being born again. As we're united to the Lord Jesus, the perfect image bearer. Look again at verses 9 and 10. It kind of deals with the past and then the present. So verse 9, it tells us a change has happened. You have taken off your old self with its practices. It's the picture of a set of clothes. That's what becoming a Christian is like. It's like taking off one set of clothes and putting on a new set. You've taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. And that's what life always becomes about. We're in a process of being changed as the reality of being renewed in the image of God grows more and more. And how does that happen? Well, we're right back to where we started. Look at it. Which is being renewed in knowledge. In the image of its creator. How do I become more like God? More like Jesus? Well, I grow in my knowledge of him. And as I grow in my knowledge of him, I become more like him. And if you're married, you know what that's like. You're sitting watching the telly with your wife, and you're about to say something, and she says it before you. Why? Well, because you spend a lot of time with each other. You know each other. You become like each other. And the more we get to know God, the more we get to know Jesus, the more we're renewed in knowledge, in the image of our Creator. Let me make one more point about my coins, though. You see, here's the nice, shiny new one. And here's the one clean with vinegar. And the truth is that the one clean with vinegar isn't yet, well, it didn't come up as clean as the shiny new one. The Bible says that those who trust in Jesus on the day of judgment that is coming will discover that then they are perfectly like Jesus, as shiny, spanky new, as it were, as this penny. You see, look back at chapter 3 and verse 1 of Colossians. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And that in glory means you'll be perfect, just like him. You'll be shining, spanking new. And you'll never get tarnished with sin again. In the meantime, the Christian has been made clean. And the Christian is in a process which will definitely lead to that. But at the moment, we're in a process of change. And it's almost as if every day, you see what happens? I sin every day. And what do I need? Well, every day, as it were, I need to take a bath in the vinegar and salt. I need to say to the Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Help me today to take off sin and to put on what pleases you. Lord Jesus, help me to be like you today. Because as I get to know you better, then I'm renewed in the image of you, my Creator. So how do you see yourself? If you're already a Christian, when you get up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, I'm a masterpiece made in God's image. I'm a masterpiece corrupted by sin. But because of God's grace to me that sent Jesus to die for me, I'm a masterpiece that is being renewed in the image of my Creator. And that means when you look at other Christians, you'll be patient with them. Because they're in a process of change as well. But perhaps you're not yet a Christian. Perhaps you're here because you've seen Christian people and you go, hey, there's something about them and I really like it. It's attractive. Do you know what it is? They're being renewed in the image of their Creator. And you could start being renewed in the image of your Creator too. And it starts by coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, will you make me clean? And the Bible says that whenever someone comes to Jesus and says, will you make me clean? He always says, yes, I'm willing. Be clean. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that your word tells us about ourselves. And we marvel at the fact that you've made us your masterpieces. Made in your image. Wow. Father, we confess that we're masterpieces corrupted by our sin. And we want to confess to you our wickedness, our rebellion. But Father, we thank you for the good news of Jesus. We thank you that he who perfectly bore your image, that on the cross he took our sin upon himself, that your image would be renewed in us. Father, if we've never asked the Lord Jesus to make us clean, help us to ask him to make us clean tonight. Father, those of us who've already done that, we have to ask that you'd make us clean again. Because we still sin. And we ask, Father, that day by day we would be renewed in knowledge in the image of you, our Creator. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.